KILT. KILT FM HD2 Houston. Insider access. Exclusive content. Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. Now let's run down Captain Mike Jeffcoat, see where he's at this morning. Good morning, Mike. What's up, buddy?
Holding up this highway in front of me.
Uh-oh. I can hear you. You're on the road.
Yes, sir, I am.
I guess you're heading east?
Yep. Watch that sun come up.
There you go. Driving the sun all morning.
Yeah, fun. I don't need to be in the woods this morning.
It's a crisp hunting morning. Man, it'd be nice whether you're duck hunting or deer hunting.
Yeah, it's 39 in my truck right here.
Awesome.
Yeah. I want to make them stars.
Yes. You know, I was noticing yesterday, I was just looking around, the leaves aren't even turning yet. Here it is, almost Thanksgiving. Pretty wild.
Yeah, it is.
Did you hear about Leon Hudson?
Uh-uh.
He passed away. McLean Trailers. Man, he's an icon in the business, buddy.
Yeah, he is.
He will be missed. Man, he's taken such good care of all of us guides over the years. And,
absolutely.
Remember back in the day when, man, I'm limping on a trailer, I'm just trying to nurse all the miles I can get out of it, and I don't have the money to buy a new one. He said, hey, don't worry about it. Pay me when you get the money. That's the way he was. He said, come get you a new trailer.
Yep. Yeah, back when I was sponsored by Ranger, I was running his trailers. That's when he went building it. A little more advanced here, custom type builds.
Mm-hmm.
I drag an empty trailer all the way to Flippin, pick up a boat.
Yep.
Roads back in the days, well, Arkansas still ain't got the greatest roads. Trailer bouncing all over the world.
Can't be worse than Texas and Louisiana, man. I mean, our roads are in bad shape everywhere. It's terrible.
And I hadn't been in your part of the world all that way, but no parts up our way, the roads are in pretty good shape. So, a lot of road work going on, but they start that Interstate 69 now, Cleveland on north. I went up Fort Shepherd the other day, and I really don't understand what they're trying to do up there, but they're good.
Just money.
But, Louisiana's trying. They just need to get everything fixed there at the border. My God, that's a mess. Oh, wait a minute, actually, because they're
right.
Three-lane in that now. From you cross the state line, they're going three lanes all the way to Lake Charles now. So.
I'm going to go ahead and make it four because they're going to need it eventually.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, they need it now. I mean, there's three lanes right there at them. On to Lake Charles. And, man, there's so much truck traffic now.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I do see where they're much people going to leave the CDLs. I don't know what that was all about. $15 across the nation. Now they force
them to lose their CDLs.
Yeah, there's something about reason? They give. Well, I think it's got something to do back during the pandemic when they just handed them out left and right. And a lot of them trucks ain't qualified. I mean, them drivers are not qualified. I guess I don't know. I've seen a couple reports about it. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Yeah. bad 18-wheeler wreck there on 105 there close to my house yesterday. But that's all under construction from Cleveland to Conroe, and so the comedians can't slow down. It's 45-mile-an-hour speed zone through there. And they still trying to run 70 down through there. As far as the fishing, I talked to Brent. Me and him were fishing together at the bar, and the river's trying to jump down. I figured it would. It's getting that time of year. So I don't really know why it's jumping. So I haven't seen or heard of no weather up that way. Meet north up there.
Yeah.
I don't know how dry it was up there, but he said it's definitely jumping. So I'll know in the morning.
I'm still seeing a lot of meat hall trout pictures from over your way.
Yeah.
Table shots.
Them trout of it.
Slaughterhouse shots.
Yeah. You know, if it does start jumping, as long as it don't jump hard, them trout will just start pushing back down the passes. And, you know, it's like Passalucha. I imagine a lot of them fish are coming out of Passalucha right now. They hit in South Pass. Other than that, that's about it. Weather, you know, is just handicapping them offshore boys so bad into the room.
Yeah, they can't catch a break.
No, they can't. I'm sure they're getting fish today and tomorrow. Probably the weekend. I don't think we got the weather coming till what, Monday now?
Yeah, it looks like it. You know, Tuesday turned out to be an unbelievable day.
You know, yeah, it did.
You know, if you were that first little front, there was just nothing to it. And this reinforcement front, you know, made a difference.
Right. I watched that, that's Squall Line. I got up watching it.
Yeah.
We're going to get smoke sometime this afternoon. We never got nothing.
Well, I remember when that Squall Line was coming down, you know, that front line thing, with this, you know, with some rain in it. But then I saw a tornado warning for Liberty County when that thing was getting close to me. I could hear the thunder back to the northeast of me, but I didn't get, I don't know, I got a pretty good rain, though. I might have got an inch.
I didn't get anything by my house.
Really?
Huh? It's like Sunday. When I left the deer leaf Sunday. You know, they was talking about all that rain Sunday afternoon. I said, let's get out of here. I was trying to finish up cleaning up the camp. Didn't sprinkle there. Actually made the road wet.
Yeah.
But it quit raining and I got out of the lease. But when I got to 7 miles up, Mr. from there to Cleveland, it was unbelievable. It dumped water. But it missed the deer lake. It is. I'm glad it did.
Well, that's good. I mean, that thing's been pretty much a mess after all that rain, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I mean, there's place roads that I like to travel that's getting impassable now. So,
you know, isn't that something how the worm turns? This spring and early summer, we were begging for rain, and South Texas was getting it, and now they're begging for rain, and we're getting it.
Yeah. But I've heard of a few deer, handful of deer killed, and there was some spikes killed out there at the river bottom. As far as a good set of horns, I've seen some pictures of some good ones.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty decent deer coming out of East Texas this year. Not a lot, but, you know, when you see a good one, it's a good one.
Well, it happens every year. When we think there's no acre, there's enough acres that it'll pull them off and feed her. I mean, they still coming, but I had to tell you on that mud last week, that was something else.
Yeah, it didn't help.
No, it did not. Hey, I'm fixing to fall off the river bottom up here. I don't know if I'm going to lose you. I'm showing
If you do, we'll go to a commercial break.
There you go.
Yes.
I'm hoping that this next little rustle will be able to get a break and not build that bus like it was.
Yeah.
If deer, you know, in our shortage of does, I saw a good friend of mine out there. We might be able to rattle the deer up, you know, come January, first January or something. Because we got way more bucks than we got does, I can tell you that. I bet we're on 7-to-1 ratio.
More, that many more bucks than does?
Yes, sir.
What do you attribute that to? I mean, is that from the floods?
Or all them does. Yeah, them does got caught with the ponds.
Right.
I've seen 2 yearling deer is all I've seen.
Really?
Yeah. Rest of them, all them does. And there's, like I said, you need to be paying attention. You see one step out kind of far. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a buck. If those got caught in that flood here, they're when they was having them babies.
Right.
And you know they tried to stay with them.
Right.
Yeah. They wind up killing themselves. That's the only thing we can attribute to. And, you know, even on camera, Darlene's got a doe in a deer in her stand. One of Rusty's stands got a doe in a deer at it. It comes pretty regular to the feeder. But other than that, the rest of them are all the same. But man, they'll be 7-8 bucks, one note down there. So you know there's been some fighting going on.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll be all broke up for too long.
Yep.
There's that much competition just for one doe. You know, yep. You see that, you know, ranches have got kind of a 1-to-1 ratio, you know, once a rut gets really kicked in, you'll see a lot of broke up bucks from the fights.
Yeah. We've done got a couple of guys broken up.
Yeah.
Mother Nature took a hard hit on us. You know, the west side of the lease, that's the higher part, their doe population is still pretty good shape. Because I seen 3 does that have been signed out last weekend. You know, everybody knows what we're hunting. We've done all set. We killed them. You know, and that youth weekend stuff through the years has kind of hurt us too, I think. They killed a lot of does during that youth weekend, that first one. Then you got right. This one, you get a whole week of it. After this is closed, regular season closed. There's a week of youth, it's 2 weeks of muscle.
Right. All right, buddy. Well, you made it through the river bottom. We didn't lose you, but if somebody wants to call you about getting hooked up and going fishing with you, Mike, how do they get a hold of you, man?
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web, or take on the fishing.
All right, buddy.
Then I'm crossing your back door right now.
All right. Well, be safe heading back. I'll talk to you Saturday. Be cool. All right, see you, Mike. Later. All right. That's Captain Mike Jeffcoat. Well, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. It's a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters also. And bring your friends, bring your clients, and let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from 5-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40, and they can host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com, and tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to G-Town now. Let's check in with Captain James Plogg this morning. Little Rad, what's up, man?
Big Daddy, what's up, dude?
Not a lot, dog.
Man, short pants and T-shirts may be over with for this morning.
It was for me this morning. Man.
It probably won't last long, but it's kind of cool this morning.
Man, my truck's in the shop. I had to get in my wife's car this morning, come to work.
Oh, your old light deal was.
Oh, yeah. I got it in there. It's Gremlin City. They'll figure it out, but it could be four different things. So, hope they don't just part change and charge me for all of it for their mistakes. Hope they can nail down the issue and fix it with the first try.
Man,
what
that's
a nightmare.
I know. You're always better if something will just break, dude. Just break down.
Yeah.
Then it's good. Man, how long you been without a truck?
All week.
Oh, man. You take it to the dealer or you take it to your guy?
No, I took it to my guy, and he couldn't do nothing with it because he doesn't have the equipment to reprogram everything with a computer after they think they know what's wrong with it. But
gotcha.
I took it to this other guy. He said he could do it. He had the equipment. So,
Roger.
Because I called like three different dealers, and, it's going to be about 4 or 5 days before we can get to it and look at it. And I said, nah, don't worry about it.
Nah, if you told him, look, man, I'm thinking about buying a new truck. I need to get this one fixed. You probably could have got in that day.
Well, that's true, but I ain't thinking about buying a new truck.
Nah, I ain't
don't
buying
want
nothing.
To.
I ain't buying nothing.
There's nothing like having a boat and a truck that's paid for. Nothing like it.
Yeah, but, it's the same deal, though, Mickey. We get everything paid for, and you're really good, usually for about 2 years, and then it's all junk. Then it's done. Now you got to go get new. You get about a 2-year run where it ain't costing you a whole lot.
Right.
Hey, I had a 6.0 Ford.
Oh, boy.
Remember that Ford I had, that 6.0? I thought it was the best thing ever till it got 100,000 miles on it, and I should have just went to a burn pile and caught it on fire.
See, and that truck should be good for 250, 300, no problem,
Dude, it was terrible. And then, on top of all that, it rusted out. It was not good, but the one I got now is good. Well, the one I got stolen was really good. And then,
Boy, I bet that's a weird feeling to come in from fishing and your truck's gone. I said, man, what?
Dude, happened? I walk up on the pier. My boat had been in the water for, 6 or 7 days, 10 days. I've been fishing every day, and I said, I'm going to take this boat out. Well, I think a front was coming. And I bebop up there. I loop off on the pier. And I walk up there. All I see is a trailer. So, man, Robbie must have borrowed my truck. Hey, I went through about 4 phone calls who could have borrowed my truck. I finally figured out. I said, you know what? I looked how the trailer was unhooked. I said, man, nobody I know would do this. They just threw the chains on the ground and stuff.
Right.
So, man, I think somebody stole my truck, man.
Yeah, and with your golf clubs in it, too.
Everything was in there, dude. My whole life was in there, and I'm like... I had a cross. You remember Joe D. George? I know you do.
Right.
Well, Joe D. George used to make these crosses, rosaries that were made out of like shrimp net. The line they built shrimp net with.
Right.
And of all the things that was in that truck, I replaced everything but that cross that was hanging on my rearview mirror. And that
Joe D.
That
George
made me mad. That made me mad.
He saved my bacon at the pass one time back when I was a young man. I waited out, and tide came in on that bar I was on, and the current was coming in so strong, I couldn't get back across that gut. And I had a big old string of trout hanging off of me, and I started to just ditch the trout and ditch the rod and just swim for it. And he saw me. He was over, how he fished a bridge all the time, catching them giant trout under that bridge.
Yep.
And that's how I met him. He idled over to me, and I just hung on to the side of his boat, and he just idled me up there till I could touch bottom, and that's how we met.
That's pretty cool.
We talked for about 20 minutes, man.
Yeah, him and Rudy, and, of course, your dad was fishing down there with him then.
Oh,
my cousin Gene, Beckley. Zolly Talavera. It was, that was the old crew.
Zolly. I hadn't heard that name in years.
Man, remember, hey, he made a brownie. Brownie bought the patent or the rod or however you say it from him, and I still have one. It was a PBR 65 stick.
Right.
And this is 100 years ago. But if you took that action to what we fish with today, it's almost ideal. Of course, it weighs 900 pounds.
It was what, a hollow glass rod, wasn't it?
It was a hollow glass rod. That is exactly right. I still have one. I had it wrapped and put away. But no, man, anyway, it's done got a little bit nicer down here. We're going. I told Craig it's either going to be really, really good or really, really bad. It'd be one of the two.
You got kefir this morning?
Yeah. The water actually kind of came back against that wind. I'm surprised.
It did. I was surprised when I saw it, you know, coming over the bayou this morning.
Yeah, I come out here and fired everything up. And I said, man, we got a little bit of water, and I don't think it will last. Cause it, you know, I guess we're on a negative pull, so it like...
Well, you got the... Man. It's a 0.0, which coming off of 1.6, it'll... But that low's at 219 today, so it'll be going out all morning.
We'll figure something out. You know, I had drip fisherman Monday, and, you know, it was your 30-30. I looked at it a lot, 30 knots, 35 knots, man, going to blow what hair you got off your head left,
right.
Blow your mailbox down. I'm like, and it never got that.
It never did.
I mean,
no.
It was, right, it wasn't like I'm going to go drift fishing anyway, but if I'd had weight fishing guys, we'd have crushed them. It was pretty good. And then Tuesday, it just went to nothing, dude.
That was a nothing burger, wasn't it? How about that weather? Dead calm all day.
It was postcard, bro, but I'm telling you, when I'm fishing where there's lots of fish, and we caught lots of fish, but you can tell when it ain't no good. They bit right away.
Right.
But I've been catching, let's just say, 18 to 21-inch trout.
Mm.
And they're like, man, the first four or five, I mean, we put the hook out, and it's as fast as you can catch them. And I'm like, man, but they're all small. Well, them big ones, you know, them big ones will be right in here in a minute. They'll start biting. Man, we catch like 60. And I just keep leaning on them. I know what's there. And we ended up catching, I don't know, five or six, you know, nice trout. And then
right.
I moved. They started slicking. I moved a little bit. Anyway, bottom line is we caught a whole bunch of fish. I think we left there, and then it was one and two. You might catch three or one. We ended up catching, I think we caught 17, 18, you know, nice trout, and
right.
about 60 or 70 little ones. So I caught the Hillman. Man, he ain't biting. Same thing. Pencils, they went off one time, and they caught – same 18-19 fish. I talked to Dana because none of us are fishing the same place. Now I wonder if it's just here. And it was the same where Dana was fishing. Pencils, millions of pencils. And I think they finally caught like 10 nice trout. And them old, it was dead calm. And them old spider web things were flying around.
Oh man, it was spider web central Tuesday.
It was. When it's like that, you know how hard it is. I don't care if you got biggins of them. Sometimes they just don't bite when it's like that.
Well, the only thing worse than that is a high gray liner.
Yeah, that's the truth. I told my guys, man, this is great weather for like June the 15th, but for November the whatever day it is, this ain't too good, man. But the little ones bite. There's so many little ones, they always bite. So, but we'll see today.
Yeah, them little trout, they're always snapping.
Yeah, I think the water temperature dropped. It was, and on top of that, the water temperature was high. When I come in, it was 75.
Yeah.
And I think it's 66 right now. So we had almost a 10-degree drop. Well,
that's
that was
good.
At the railroad bridge. I hadn't looked at my machine on my boat. I just turned everything on. I hadn't looked at it. But it was probably same, 66.
Wow.
So we'll see. But yeah,
we're heading the right direction now.
Yeah. And it wasn't like we had a bad day. I mean, I'm used to, but here lately, I'm used to rolling up there and catching 25, 30 good ones pretty quick and being done. We had to like work at it.
Well.
And then, like you said earlier, you know, you take a lot of these fish and you put them in a small area, then it's really good. Then you try to go find somewhere just like a reef or a big area.
Right.
You just got to start picking them off. And I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday, and there's a whole mass of a whole bunch of these nice trout that are way, way up. They're not out. Now, they may come out today.
We're going to have a big-time dump, you know, to really see what we have, you know.
100%. I mean, these are and my buddy I talked to, he ain't catching pimples. He's catching nice trout, and he's way up there. I'm like, man. So, you know, they just – we'll see. But you're right. They got low yesterday, buddy. That's the lowest I've seen it all fall was yesterday. Yeah.
Little help. Sure. Temperature drop and water drop and a couple of more of these, and then we'll know what we got.
Are you coming with me Tuesday?
No, I hadn't planned on it. I hadn't heard from Wayne. I know he booked you, but he hadn't said anything about it to me.
Yeah, I think we tried to book that day so you could go.
Right. I think, you know, unless he's bringing a client. If he doesn't, a client backs out, then I'll jump on, you know.
I'll just tell Wayne, get rid of that client. We don't need no clients, man.
I guess you heard about Leon at McLean Trailers, didn't you?
I did, Mickey. That's
isn't that terrible? He had a good run,
He had a hell of a run, buddy. He's helped a whole bunch of us.
I mean, he kept us going for 40-plus years. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I knew him because my dad used to furnish him all of his tires for his trailers back in the day.
And that's how
I met him, and I bought my first boat trailer from him. I mean, that's all I've ever run is McLean Trailers.
I'm staring at one right now. You know, Leon never asked no questions, and we didn't have no money, which was most of the time. He always took care of us, man.
He'd say, hey, quit limping around, come get you a new trailer. I'll get one built for you, come pick it up, and you pay me when you get the money, man.
Pay me when you get the money. You know, and everybody's gone. I mean, whoever we used to deal with, I don't really know nobody. You know, Dwayne retired, and Leon wasn't there much anymore, so kind of lost touch on that. But
well, Dwayne retired, and then, you know, now Leon's passed away, but Jason... He's a good guy, Leon's son, Jason Hudson.
Yeah, I guess Jason's running the whole thing now, huh?
Yeah. And then you got what's his name? Breton McLean. He kinda runs a lot of stuff there.
I don't know nobody. Bought this trailer, when Joe bought this trailer for me from my boat he built for me, I just called up there. I didn't even ask for nobody. I just asked them to build it, and we just, you know, paid full tilt, whatever it was. But good trailer. They got good stuff. Hell, everybody's getting old, buddy.
I'm telling you. Man, they're going down all around us, brother.
I ain't going down. I'm going to take her to the end, man.
Go for it. You'll outlive all of us.
Well, I don't know about that, buddy.
Yeah.
We damn sure going to live each day, that's for sure.
That's it. We'll just take it till we can't go no more. That's the way it works.
Yeah, well, I think we got a pretty good little run. I looked at the weather. I don't see nothing too bad. But it kind of stays north, like, for a while.
Yeah, we're going to have north wind for a while. That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe these fish will set up in this north wind for their winter pattern.
Yeah, I see we catch a few big. Hey, I even took me an old... You know, I don't really carry car keys or fat boys no more. We don't, you know, we just don't have the size of fish that we used to throw, you know.
Waiting on that thump, baby.
Yeah. And I looked at one yesterday. I was getting me a new box for my waders. It was all messed up that I put inside of my waders. You know what? Man, this year we may be a few good ones. I took that old fat boy, threw it in there. That natural one, that just an old shad color one.
Yeah.
Black back, white.
The old Tennessee shad.
Yeah. Little token fat boy winking around in there. I may not get him out, but I got him.
Now, you never know. You don't know unless you throw, brother.
Gotcha. Hey, Bobby come over and saw me yesterday. We had a good talk. He brought me a few baits.
He told me he was going to bring you some baits.
He said the same thing, man. I call you. So I'm on in, and I'm in the garage working on stuff. So I don't even know where my phone's at, man. He just started laughing. He said, I talked to Mickey. He said, yeah, you ain't basketball him calling you. He ain't going to get him. I said, I just don't never have my phone. I never know where it's at. Unless it's on my dash and I'm staring at it, I don't know where it's at.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's one of your faults, and we all love to complain about it, that we've got you. Like Daryl said, he said, I can get a hold of the president easier than I can plug.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Oh, man. I'll right, get me one of them old man things that you strap on your belt, I guess.
Right.
Holders. You got to be over 70 to have one of them, I think.
All right, dog. Well, hey, man, if somebody wants to come go to the bottom where you can live the dream and their worst nightmare, give them a number, man.
Full shot, buddy. 497-771-7306. Have a good
one,
man.
Just keep calling him, send him a text. He'll get back to you in a week or two. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't get no hurry.
All right, man.
Bye.
Later. All right, that's Captain Flog down in G-Town. I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, and they're located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store, all their different size bottles to rig your boat with, plus regulators, diffusers, a refill right there at the store. More info, call Jason at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, if you're needing seafood, Boyd's has always got fresh seafood. Check out their wild-caught Gulf shrimp. There's no farm raised at Boyd's. If you're looking for the big 9-12s or 15-18 count, whatever size you want, they've always got them. Great price, great availability, and their Cajun Grill next door, they put out some really good food at great prices. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com, and when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:39 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to deep South Texas, Jim Hogg County, near Hebronville, and check in with our good friend Captain Blaine Fryermuth, Texas Guide, Sport, Fish, and Game. What's up, Blaine?
Hey, Mickey. Well, we got some cool weather finally.
I bet it's nice and brisk down there this morning.
It's 42 degrees on my
That's
truck right
awesome.
Now. I'm out feeding deer blinds. Imagine that. We've got 52 blinds, and I take it upon myself to make sure that all the deer blinds get fed at least, you know, every third day, and that's what I'm doing right now. That's what I did yesterday. I fed deer blinds yesterday morning and quail roads during the day, and I rested yesterday afternoon on a tractor mowing, and I'm up feeding deer blinds right now. Lots of deer moving already. They love
That's
the feed
good.
Wagon. The minute I put it down, they come running.
Boy, they hear that feeder go off, they come running, don't they?
Well, you know, even as green as it is down here, Mickey, it's been so dry now for about 2 months, everything's kind of turning brown, and they're coming to that corn now. When it's green, they don't come so much to the corn, but man, right now, until it rains again, and we got lots of mouths to feed. All those mama does had twin fawns, so it just looks like there's a million deer at every blind, because there are. Every doe had twin babies, so you doubled your number of deer. And I'm not seeing that many bucks, though, Mickey. Yeah, really not. Of course, it's been hot. Today's the first cold day.
Yeah.
It's been just unbearable. It's been in the high 80s to low 90s every afternoon. None of these cold fronts have hit down here as it hit everybody else. We haven't got hardly any cool weather. You know, 64 in the mornings, that's been about it.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, but we're waiting on this one, though. This is going to be short-lived, too, though.
Yeah,
they say it's going to warm back up into the 80s again, and 60s, low 60s in the morning and 80s in the afternoon. So,
well, that's a little better. That's not enough to get things going good, but hey, you know, it's South Texas. It's a whole different animal down there.
Yeah, just a few temperatures makes the deer feel better because they're used to 100 degrees.
You know, those got to be the toughest damn deer I've ever seen to go through
everything down here
like they do in the summer. I mean,
everything
gets hot in South Texas. I mean, it does.
There's more days over 100 than there is less than 100 down here.
Yes.
Where we're way down here. You know, we're not too far off the Rio Grande right here, and it's just pretty miserable. And we're kind of in the desert end. Where, you know, you get down towards the coast, it's not so bad because you get that sea breeze. It cools you off. But up here, we're in the desert. It just gets it's unbearable, especially if you get any kind of south or southwest or west wind.
It's almost like Africa. You know, that's about as close to Africa as you can get, you know.
Yeah.
As far as the wilderness and all the critters. And
Everybody says that South Texas is pretty much identical to Africa. The bushes and everything got stickers, and it's always hot.
Everything bites.
Yeah. We've had a very successful season so far, Mickey. We had every hunter that's come down has had a chance to shoot a nice buck, and that's saying something for early in the season. And we're kind of doing the quail hunting thing right now. Not many deer hunters right now, but starting about December 10th, we're going to shut off the quail hunting probably and go straight to just hunting deer until deer season's over on January 19th, and then we'll go back to hunting quail pretty hard.
Right.
But
well, it's quails amazing how many quail you have. I mean, how long you been down there now? 42 years?
42 years, the same spot with the same family. It's a miracle. We're on the third generation of landowners now, and these kids now are kind of getting itchy. A lot of these kids never even seen their own land. So they're getting several sets of these kids have not seen this property. So they moved off. They don't like this country down here. They moved somewhere where it's a little bit better. But they're getting itchy to sell. So we got a few years left, though. I think our oldest landowner said we got some time left, so don't worry about it. So we're not going to worry about it.
Wow.
But it's still, I think it's the longest run anybody's ever had an outfitter.
I don't know
like
anybody that's been able to keep a lease that long.
No, after you get on the second generation, people start selling this property. But being back to the game, though, Mickey, I mowed yesterday afternoon. I saw some quail lanes that I missed when I was feeding yesterday morning. So I went back yesterday afternoon and mowed those lanes. And there's so many quail out in the middle of nowhere. We've not done any feeding, nothing. And just out in the middle, you know, thousands of acres, there's just quail every 100 yards. It's insane. Yeah, they just had all that rain all year long. We had such a good hatch last year, and they made it through the winter good, and then it started raining, and all this grass that's 4 foot tall, they can survive. They got that tall stuff to survive. The predators can't get them, and the grasshoppers and insects have been good, so that's what made them go. And it's the best on record. And when they
probably their biggest predator down there is hawks, huh?
Probably hawks and owls, and a lot of things get their eggs, like skunks, and if a coyote finds them, and the roadrunners do a lot of damage on the quail. You know, they're a meat eater. Yeah. And we've seen it a million times. The roadrunner running down the edge of the road with a little baby chick in his mouth. You know, they're meat eaters.
Yeah, they're carnivores.
They eat lizards and snakes and everything if they can get them. But those little baby quail are easy pickings for them. They pick them off and gobble them up.
Roadrunner.
Everything wants quail, just like everything wants a shrimp.
Yeah, that's so true.
I don't think we've killed anything exceptional yet, Mickey. We've killed a lot of really nice deer, but we have not busted over 140 yet. And we've killed some old deer though, but just none of them were the big boys. That just killed an 8-year-old that was 11-pointer. It probably scored right at 140.
How's the body some weight on your deer this year?
Oh man, they're so fat. So we've already got a whole bunch of 200-pounders.
Wow.
And that's where we are, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
When you get further north from here, those deer have bigger bodies. It's funny how regionally across the state of Texas, how the animals vary in weight. You know, a big mature buck.
Right.
But our top of the line down here is about 220 pounds. It's about as big as you'll get. But I would say the average mature buck is about 160 to 200 pounds.
Well, that biggest body weight deer was that nine-pointer I killed with you at Southeast that time. It was 226 pounds.
Yeah, that's about one of the heaviest ones we've ever gotten.
That's
sure was.
Big old body deer. And nice rack, really? Too. That's a good deer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Last hunt.
Yeah.
I was going to go home that morning. You wouldn't let me. He said, get in the truck, man. We're going to go to Southeast. There's a bunch of bucks over there. You can't go home empty-handed, which I was, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've had some good times. Now, you've got such a good memory to remember all those deer that you've had over the years. You remember the ones you've gotten, and you remember the ones you didn't shoot.
That eight-pointer still haunting me, man. You know, you remember all the deer you've killed, but the worst feeling is the one that you know you smacked really good, and he ran off, and you couldn't find him. That, man, that's a...
That's pretty sickening.
It is.
So I thought you got the biggest six-pointer in the state of Texas. That's in the record books for us. It's our claim to fame. We've killed a lot of really nice 10-pointers and 12-pointers and 8-pointers, but we've never gotten a giant six-pointer, and you got it. And that was what was that deer, 6 or 7 years old?
Yeah. Terry looked at his teeth and everything and aged him, said he's about 6 and a half, probably, maybe 7.
Yeah. What a
now,
giant.
Where's that deer been? You know?
No telling. Just, you know, that's probably all he ever was his whole life was a six-pointer.
Was it you that was telling me the other day that you saw a deer at one stand and then saw him the next day 4 miles away?
That happened last week. There was a guy at one of the far blinds way on the west side of the ranch. There was a 6-point. We had all acorn tips on them. You know how those look? Mm-hmm. It's just a 3-year-old, but real heavy acorn tips and real heavy. And a day later, it showed up at the southeast corner of the ranch, which was 3.5 miles away. And why would it travel in this heat that far when there's no rut going on? Why would it go? And we had to get the same guy saw it. He said, here's a picture of it at this blind, and here's a picture of it at this blind. I said, wow, a four-mile trek in this heat, why would he go that far?
Well, you know, that big six I killed, he, on his left main beam, his G2 had a big acorn tip on it. Maybe that's the offspring of this one.
Very well could be. We don't see many of those, but we have over the last 40 years. We've seen probably 10 of them that had acorn tips. And that's got to be all the same genetics that pulling that off right there.
Those genetics, it runs deep because, I mean, out of every 10-pointer I killed out of the heifer pasture, all of them look the same.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Same configuration. I mean, same mass, same, you know, brow tines, all of it. They all look the same.
You know, it's, all the bucks are still together. They're in those bachelor packs. They're not going nowhere. They're not. Every now and then they get mad at each other over the corn. You know, they'll fight over corn. You know, but they're all together still, and it's not even close. But what we're going to have, we think, is we're going to have a little bit of an early rut because of the does that are coming into heat for the first time. They're going to come in early, especially if it cools off.
Yeah.
And we'll get a little bit of rut going on in December maybe. But ours is always late January before the big stuff gets going.
Right.
But the bucks that are here, they leave, and the bucks that somewhere else, you come here. And that's the beauty about low fence hunting down here. We got all these thousand acres all the way around us that nobody hunts. Our deer leave and go over there, and their deer leaves and comes over here. One thing that's not leaving is every blind has about 50 does on it. Well, let's put it so they have 40 to 50 deer, mamas and babies.
Right.
Every blind. And that's because I'm doing what I'm doing right now, putting out thousands of pounds of corn every day.
When these deer have those twins like that, usually are they pretty much evenly balanced, like, you know, one will be a doe and one will be a buck?
Yes. Yeah, that's the way nature works.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they say if they lose the baby, then the baby's a male. And like I say, they have twin fawns and predators get something, they say almost always the male is the one that stays alive. So that's crazy. Yeah. So we don't know, but I would say that 90% of our does have twins and the other ones have singles. And let's say predation was so bad this year because there were so many deer and so many coyotes that the coyotes got a whole bunch of the babies when they first get born, when they first dropped. Those coyotes know how to do it.
So, yeah, they do.
We've been whacking on those things too, and we've been whacking on the hogs. We got it's too much of everything right now. There's too much, which is a good thing. But not only is there millions and millions of quail and deer and everything else, now there's that many coyotes and that many hogs and
everything's thriving.
That many rattlesnakes and that many horseflies and everything else. It's the most you'll ever see. We're definitely on top of a hill. Everything's as good as it can get down here right now.
Awesome. All right, Blaine. Well, hey, buddy, I appreciate you taking my call this morning, and I wish you all the best this week.
All right.
And enjoy this weather. You know. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and making a deer hunt or quail hunt, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Call me at 713-703-6656.
All
we
right,
got room.
Friend.
We got room. Bring them on. Thank you.
Bring them. All right, buddy. See you, Blaine.
See
Take
you.
Care, man.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. All right, that's Captain Blaine Fryermuth down in South Texas. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.